Here's a question for you. Who or what is God to you? Who or what is God to you? Good morning and welcome to Lawn Community Church and welcome to our Autumn Harvest service. As part of our current teaching theme, we'll be looking at the fifth book of the New Testament, the book of Acts, also known as the Acts of the Apostles as well. Who or what is God to you? Now, some people may begin to answer a question like that by talking about their upbringing, about how they were raised in a Christian household and how God always seemed very real to them. Who or what is God to you? Some people down through history and possibly even today may begin to answer a question like that by referring to their ancestor Abram or Abraham, who really was the head of the household for Christianity, Islam and Judaism. Certainly Abraham was very prominent in real life early on in the Judeo-Christian tradition. In the passage that we're going to have read for us today, we're going to have two readings, we're going to hear more about that Judeo-Christian tradition, or the line as it's also known, the biological line that stretches from Abraham through the likes of Ruth and Boaz on to King David. King David of Israel, that leads all the way to the coming of Christ from one man's descendants. God has brought us the Saviour Jesus as he promised. Who or what is God to you? A few weeks ago I mentioned a conversation I'd had on the train on a Wednesday afternoon, and it was a Wednesday afternoon just a few weeks ago on my way back from Bristol Baptist College. It was about 6:02, as quite a few of us, in fact quite a lot of us, were boarding this intercity train from Bristol Temple Meads to London Paddington, calling in at Swindon, among other places, and myself and a first year at Bristol Baptist College, that's Matt, was getting on this very, very crowded train, crowded intercity train. And at first, we were having to stand all the way along the aisle of this carriage that was so packed. And then all of a sudden, a seat close to where Matt and I were standing became available. I don't know how, but it became available. And I turned to an older gentleman standing kind of behind me, gentleman with white hair and a beard, and I said, "Go on, you sit there instead of me, go on." And he said, "Oh, thank you very much." And he went and sat down in the carriage. And then all of a sudden, the two seats opposite him and the man he was now sitting next to became available. And Matt and I ended up sitting down in those two seats in this very packed carriage. And we were opposite a man who actually is a DJ, he was to tell us, and we'll call him JJ, not his real name, but we'll call him JJ. And JJ was sat next to the man with white hair and a beard, and we'll call him Tony, not his real name. And Tony turned out to be a brain surgeon. And as I might have mentioned a few weeks ago, I had a conversation with Tony in particular, in front of the other three, about his humanism. He declared himself as a humanist, and I've already declared myself as a Christian. And I went on to say to all four of us, to JJ and to Tony, that actually my Christianity, when it boils down to it, is about Jesus Christ. And on this packed train carriage, as the train was now flying along towards Bath, I said to them, forget religion. Religion doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter about denominations, or it doesn't matter about traditions. My Christianity is only Jesus Christ and my relationship with him. see JJ really warming to this. He really started to relate to this. And all the while, Tony kept looking at me. This brain surgeon just kept looking at me. And he said, "I am very interested in everything you have to say. I am very interested in everything you have to say." And I told him and anybody else who was listening that my Christianity at the end of the day is just Jesus Christ and my relationship with him. And 2,000 years ago in Pisidian Antioch, Paul and Barnabas, two early Christians, were afforded the opportunity in public to say who or what God was to them. They did so on the Jewish Sabbath, in a Jewish synagogue, at a time when life was very dangerous for all the early Jewish Christians. And we have our first reading, and the words should appear on the screen overhead. And if you want to follow it in your own Bibles, please turn to the book of Acts, chapter 13, and verse 13. And Christine will now kindly come and bring it to us. The words shall appear on the screen overhead. Acts chapter 13 from verse 13.
I will read from the New International Version. So, from Paphos, Paul and his companion sailed to Perga in Pamphylia, where John left them to return to Jerusalem. From Perga, they went to Pisidian, Antioch. On the Sabbath, they entered the synagogue and sat down. After the reading from the law and the prophets, the synagogue rulers sent word to them saying, "Brothers, if you have a message of encouragement for the people, please speak." Standing up, Paul motioned with his hand and said, "Men of Israel, and you Gentiles who worship God, listen to me. The God of the people of Israel chose our fathers. He made the people prosper during their stay in Egypt. With mighty power, he led them out of that country. He endured their conduct for about 40 years in the desert. He overthrew seven nations in Canaan and gave their land to his people as their inheritance. All this took about 450 years. After this, God gave them judges until the time of Samuel the prophet. Then the people asked for a king, and he gave them Saul, son of Kish, of the tribe of Benjamin, who ruled for 40 years. After removing Saul, he made David their king. He testified concerning him, 'I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do.' From this man's descendants, God has brought to Israel the Savior Jesus, as he promised. Before the coming of Jesus, John preached repentance and baptism to all the people of Israel. As John was completing his work, he said, 'Who do you think I am? I am not that one. No, but he is coming after me, whose sandals I am not worthy to untie.' Brothers, children of Abraham, and you, God-fearing Gentiles, it is to us that this message of salvation has been sent. The people of Jerusalem and their rulers did not recognize Jesus. Yet in condemning him, they fulfilled the words of the prophets that are read every Sabbath. Though they found no proper ground for a death sentence, they asked Pilate to have him executed. When they had carried out all that was written about him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead. And for many days he was seen by those who had traveled with him from Galilee to Jerusalem. They are now his witnesses to our people.
Thank you, Christine. The first part of our reading today that you've just heard. In the end, things proved not to be quite so dangerous for Paul. The Jews in the synagogue recognised them and accepted them and actually gave them the opportunity to speak during the Sabbath day worship. Now, it was commonplace 2,000 years ago for men, not women in those chauvinistic times, to be invited to come up to the front of the synagogue and read from the scriptures, read from the Old Testament. On that particular day, the leaders of the synagogue sent word to Paul and his companions, saying, "Brothers, if you have a word of exhortation for the people, please speak." Paul responded to this generous offer, and standing up, Paul said, "Fellow Israelites and you Gentiles who worship God, listen to me. Fellow Israelites and you Gentiles who worship God, listen to me." And Paul then addresses the assembled congregation and takes them back in time to the ancestors of God's people, who would clearly have included Abraham, and leads them through the Old Testament, leads them through history to make his point. Paul names Samuel, the very first person to be identified as a prophet in Scripture. Paul mentions King David of Israel and how our Heavenly Father viewed David. And I quote, "I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do." The words of our Heavenly Father. Paul will then go on to confirm what his point is, and in so doing, Paul utters a profound truth among profound truths. Paul, before the Jews and the Gentiles, goes on to identify Jesus of Nazareth as God in human form and the Saviour of our souls. Jesus of Nazareth, God in human form, the Saviour of our souls. Who or what is God to you? Paul went on to declare further truths. We have our next reading now, and we continue with the report in Acts chapter 13. And we will now pick things up again at verse 32. Fiona will now bring it to us, and the words will appear on the screen overhead. Acts chapter 13, and picking up the story at verse 32.
"We tell you the good news, what God promised to our ancestors. He has fulfilled for us, their children, by raising up Jesus. As it is written in the second psalm, 'You are my son, today I have become your father.' God raised him from the dead so that he would never be subject to decay. As God has said, 'I will give you the holy and sure blessings promised to David.' So it is stated elsewhere, 'You will not let your Holy One see decay.' Now, when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep. He was buried with his ancestors, and his body decayed. But the one whom God raised from the dead did not see decay. Therefore, my friends, I want you to know that through Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. Through him, everyone who believes is set free from every sin, a justification you were not able to obtain under the law of Moses. Take care that what the prophets have said does not happen to you. Look, you scoffers, wonder and perish, for I am going to do something in your days that you would never believe, even if someone told you. As Paul and Barnabas were leaving the synagogue, people invited them to speak further about these things on the next Sabbath. When the congregation was dismissed, many of the Jews and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas, who talked with them and urged them to continue in the grace of God. On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. When the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy. They began to contradict what Paul was saying and heaped abuse on him.
Thank you, Fiona. Yeah, it's good news. And Paul goes on to quote the Psalms, along with the major prophet Isaiah, as well as the minor prophet Habakkuk. Paul was talking about this man called Jesus, God in human form, who fulfilled all the Old Testament prophecies about himself. Jesus is the God who came to redeem his creation and to save whoever will turn to him and turn away from their sins. As it says in the Gospel of John, chapter 3 and verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Yeah, it doesn't really matter what religion you come under. In fact, it doesn't really matter whether you're black or white. It doesn't matter whether you're male or female. It doesn't matter whether you're young or old, rich or poor. If you turn to Jesus, if you turn to Jesus, God in human form, in repentance, and in faith, he'll rescue you, he'll redeem you. He came to earth to do exactly that, and it was through Jesus that the world was made in the first place. At the beginning of the Gospel of John, it states, "Through him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. Through Jesus, everything was made." And later, Jesus, God in human form, came to redeem his creation and everyone.
Since that conversation on the crowded intercity train around about 6 o'clock on a Wednesday evening, and another conversation about the person of Jesus, about God in human form, just a week or so ago, with a lady from India. Now, she lives in this country now, and we'll call her Sharon, not a real name, but she originates from India, and she told me about how she was born and brought up in India, in very much a Hindu household. And Sharon said to me, "My dad never loved me. Right from the start, he never loved me. He was a devout Hindu. He was very strict. We always had to follow Hinduism. But he never loved me. He never loved me. We were beaten if we didn't worship all these idols in our home. We had to pray to all these idols in our home, and he would beat us if we didn't do that. And then one day when I was a teenager, in my class at school, we had a teacher in India who was a Christian. And this lady made no secret of the fact that she was a Christian, and she made no secret of who this person, Jesus, is. And as the months went by, She told us more and more about this Jesus and how Jesus is God. And Sharon said to me, being a Hindu in India, at first this was strange, how Jesus could be God. And we had loads of gods, she said. We pray to a different God for every day of the year. We worship all different sorts of gods. And she said, one day, I was having to pray to all these idols at home, all these Hindu gods, and I realised they never spoke back to me. I never heard back from them. And knowing what my teacher told me about Jesus, one night, I basically got down on my knees and I called out to Jesus, Sharon told me. Not everyone. And she said, I heard a voice back. And Sharon then began to explain at length. And basically, this voice had said to her, you are my daughter and I love you. You are my daughter and I love you. And this was the first time Sharon in India as a teenager had ever heard about the love of a father. And she gave her life to Jesus. She gave her life to God over there in India. And later on, much later on, she married a man and they both came over to England. But in the early days as a Christian, Sharon said, I heard the voice of God speak back to me. And whenever I picked up God's word, there seemed to be a verse or a passage that was speaking directly to me. Whatever mood I was in, whatever frame of mind I was in, it seems as if this God, Jesus, was speaking to me. All my Hindu gods I never heard back from. But this God, Jesus, was speaking to me through his word. At this harvest time, who or what is God to you? Let's stand. Let's stand now. Let's take to our feet again. And we come to prayer. Let's stand. If we're able to. And in prayer we say, Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we turn to you again. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we turn to you perhaps maybe for the first time. And Heavenly Father, we know that we have done wrong in life. And we turn away from our sin. We repent of our sin. And Lord, we believe in you. We put our faith in you. Lord Jesus, we turn to you. And we give ourselves to you once again, or maybe for the first time. In the glorious name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.